You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 22 tonight. So much to get through. FAI Cup action at the weekend. The title race looks to have been blown wide open after that result in Oriel Park last night. We have the Declan Rice situation to touch on as well. But before I do any of that, I'll introduce you to my co-host once again this week. It's John Breyer.
Evening, Kieran. How are you?
Good, John. And good progress for Longford in the Cup this weekend.
Yes, super win against Shells there. So we'll be going... We'll be going and talking about that a little bit later in the show.
I better just say to our listeners, if you do pick up any background noise tonight, apologies, a bit of building work going on next door here. So it's not John and myself throwing the cutlery around after that FAI Cup draw. Longford pitted against Cork for the second year running in the quarterfinals, John.
Yeah, it's a tough one to take, really, isn't it? But look, with the quality that was in that last date of that draw, nothing was going to be easy.
And of course, CIE ran so unlucky not to be into that next round draw. But look, we'll run through the FAI Cup results and the draw and all this weekend's fixtures shortly. But let's start, John, with the big situation in Irish football at the moment. Declan Rice.
Yeah, I was very surprised about this one. And for me, if he's played three matches for the national team... Surely that's, to me, that's declaring your allegiance. Yeah. There should be no turning back and opting to play
it's
for somebody else.
It's the most frustrating rule in international football. I mean, I have no problem with a young player, a kid basically, playing underage football and then deciding it's not for them, switching over to whatever country they feel their alliance is with. But when you play three senior international caps, I don't care whether that's a friendly or not, you've pinned your colours to the mast. There's no way you should be allowed to change at that stage. I think it's a ridiculous ruling. And for me, Declan Rice at the moment can't get in the West Ham team. I don't know where he's thinking he's going to get in the England team. To me, this reminds me a lot of the Jack Grealish situation. I think definitely an agent has gotten the young fella's ear here. He said to him, look, if you get an England call up, your endorsements are going to go up, your image rights is going to go up, you might get a big transfer fee, a big move somewhere. I think that's what it comes down to. It's a sad state of affairs. But for me, if I was Martin O'Neill now, I know you don't want to lose a talented young player like Declan Rice, especially when Ireland don't have the depth of talent that, you know, England can call on. But for me, if a player has to think about it, I'd say, well, that's fine, we'll wash our hands of it, we don't want you.
It should be the ultimate, shouldn't it, playing for your country? And I think you must know. I mean, I'm in a situation where obviously I live in Ireland, but I'm English, but... You know, I would obviously want to play for England. My son would be adamant he wants to play for Ireland. And that's absolutely fine. But, you know, you have to, you must know at any age. He's obviously been tapped with the chat about just the trappings and the money he can earn with it. But for me, it should be a non-starter, should that?
I mean, myself, very similar situation. Born in England, moved to Ireland at the age of 8. And as a youngster, I probably would have identified myself as English. So I do have sympathy with these players. Yeah. It can be quite a big decision for them to make, but obviously for myself that's lived here much longer now than I lived in England, and you learn things here that you didn't learn in England, and you learn things about yourself and you find your identity. And I mean, Declan Rice is in the opposite situation where he spends his time in England, he's grown up in England, you know, so you can have a sympathy for him and you'd have no problem with him if he'd come out straight away and said, I don't have an interest in playing for Ireland, I want to play for England. He's gone and played three games. I mean, there was a big media scene around him when he came in and how proud he was to play for Ireland and his links to Ireland and everything. Absolute rubbish now, it looks like.
So what happens now if he decides, yeah, maybe I will play for Ireland? How will he be taken?
Well, that's got to be down to Martin O'Neill. But one thing I found interesting was James McLean's tweet, and I'm not sure if you've seen it. I think he was replying to maybe Kevin Kilbane. Kilbane was saying where if you have to think about whether you're English or Irish, then you're not Irish, you don't deserve to have a place in the team. And James McLean basically backed up that tweet. So for me, I was thinking at that stage, if Rice does do a U-turn now, how difficult is it going for him going to be to go into a dressing room with characters like McLean that are so, so passionate about playing for Ireland? For me, I don't see a way back for him. And if I was O'Neill, I wouldn't want him back now. But obviously, as I've said, from a managerial point of view, you take away the emotion of it all. Ireland are short on talent and a player like Declan Rice could be a huge asset, so I can see why he'd do everything in his power to get him to make that U-turn. But for the supporters and within the dressing room, it's going to be a long road to travel now for Declan Rice.
A couple of other points I wanted to make. There was no Pat Hooban selected.
No, very disappointed with that, but no surprise. I think he's been absolutely sensational what he's done with Dundalk. He's had a bit of time over in England. Didn't go as well as would have been hoped, but a lot of injuries played a role in that. I mean, Shawnee Maguire last season was tearing it up and he got the attention straight away. I mean, I don't know why Hoeben's efforts are going so under the radar. And we've mentioned it several times here before. His style of play is exactly what Martin O'Neill, it fits into his plans perfectly. So
funny how it didn't really work out for him at Oxford. You know, you're thinking
like, a lot of injury issues well, there. Yeah. But I really can't see why even a training call-up. I know we don't like the thoughts of a player having to go up and train from the League of Ireland. People call it a token gesture. But for me, he should surely be looked at when there's such a shortage of English strike or Irish players playing in England on good form at the moment.
And one man who was rumoured to have been called up but didn't get international clearance was Michael Duffy.
Yeah, so you're going to be interested to see Northern Ireland's reaction to that now, whether they try and make a panic call-up. But yep. I think Michael Duffy, judging by some of his recent comments over the last couple of months, it seems that his desire is to play for the Republic of Ireland, which is absolutely fantastic. But is it going to be a situation where he's going to have to get a move now if he wants regular call-ups? Graham Burke is in the squad, interesting to see after his move to Preston.
Yeah. He started well, though, over at Preston.
He started very well, but I wonder if he was still with Shamrock Rovers, would he get that call-up?
Yes, it's difficult to know. You've talked about the magic plane in the past, haven't you, and the likes. But
look, I think that's been an interesting discussion on Ireland. Obviously, a couple of friendlies coming up and a Nation League game, whatever that means, I'm not too sure. But look, John, we'll move on now and we'll speak about the FAI Cup at the weekend. Cork City ran out comfortable 4-0 winners over Maynooth. Of course, Barry Prendeville, their manager, was a guest on our show last week.
Yeah, and he spoke well about the team. And, they weren't totally outclassed. They put
up
a decent
effort. It was half an hour they held a clean sheet for. So, decent showing.
Set piece undid them. The opener was a header in from a corner by Aaron Barry to put them 1-0 up. Sadly, he showed his class with a great turn and shot, 2-0. Bit unfair starting Sadler, I thought, against Maynooth.
He's the only one that kept his place, though. 10 changes from Cork just shows you the wealth of talent they have there.
Josh O'Hanlon with a penalty, and Coughlin converted across to make it 4-0.
3-3 for O'Hanlon, and I'm sure he'll be looking to get on the score sheet against Longford. A lot of supporters, including both of us, would have been very critical of Josh O'Hanlon during the time at Longford. So
he was in a poor side as well, though. We have to remember that. Yeah.
No comment.
Right, okay. We'll move on to a match you were at, Dundalk 2, Finn Harps 0.
Yeah, I have to say, no shame in this result for Finn Harps. I thought they were very good on the night. They were limited in what they could do in terms of attack, but they gave it a good go, and I think if this was against any other First Division side, they probably would have come out with 3 points. But one issue I want to raise, John, and we've mentioned it recently on the show here, is the behaviour of Ollie Horgan on the sideline. This is a grown man, and he's carrying on like a lunatic on the sideline. He went and got himself sent off here against Dundalk. I think it was over something ridiculous, like a throw-in. His assistant then, Hegarty, on the sideline, is just as bad. I thought he was going to follow him up into the stands. Horgan's going to go and get himself banned now, most likely, for a couple of crucial league games coming up. Just no need for a stupid carry-on. And I thought as well in the lead-up to his game, we all know they had very little to zero chance against Dundalk, but his comments were so negative. As a supporter, I would get very frustrated and fed up of such negativity all the time. I think Harris fans and all League of Ireland fans take his comments all the time with a little pinch of salt, but coming out with comments like, we're never going to win this cup, we know we're not, there's no point in our supporters dreaming. Oh, God, it's an awful negative attitude to have.
Well, he's almost become a caricature, a parody of himself. Yeah. But the antics on the sideline, I've seen him get sent off a few times now. And, I just think, it's about time he stopped it. Yeah. You know, you can be passionate on the side, but, he just goes way over
off
the top. And, it's crazy, really. So, He needs to stop that.
Just on the goal, do you want to run us through the goals in that game, John?
Yeah, Matt Timlin hit a free kick just wide, and Dundalk hit the bar, and Ronan Murray had a free. That was pushed over the bar, so they were trying early on with Dundalk to get the opener, but it was a penalty that opened the scoring when Borg brought down Massey in the box, and Ronan Murray opened the scoring, and then a gentleman we're going to speak to later, Georgie Kelly, he got the second. It was a lovely move, actually.
Yeah, lovely move. Took Dundalk a while to go, and they had probably 80% of the possession on the night, but they struggled to break Harps down early on. But in the last 15 to 20 minutes particularly, you could see Harps tired, and Dundalk could have had five or six in the end. But a decent performance into the next round, that's all that matters. And as you mentioned, Georgie Kelly will be delighted to be up and running now at Dundalk.
Oh, he will. We've seen just what he's capable of. I remember one match against Longford where he was just outstanding, you know.
I was very impressed with him on Friday night. I thought his hold-up play was fantastic. And you could see, God forbid, if Hooban did ever pick up an injury, that Kelly could step in there. And, I mean, I remember when David McMillan was made the main striker at Dundalk, there was so much negativity around him. He's not good enough. He won't be up to the standard. I could see it in him that his hold-up play, his movement, his finishing was well up to the mark, and with time he'd get up to the pace of things at Dundalk and start scoring. Different, I see the exact same in Kelly.
Different type of forward to Ronan Murray, isn't he?
Very much, yeah.
Yeah. So
Murray seems to be playing in the wide positions a lot more for Dundalk. I think if it was a straight choice now between Murray and Kelly as to who would be the main man to replace Hooban if anything ever did happen, it would definitely be Kelly.
Derry beat Pats 1-0 this game. Brendan Clark kept them in the game. He saved after a good one from Ben Fisk, and he saved from McAniff and Rory Hale as well. So he was the man of the moment in the first half. Second half started the same, with Clark saving from Ronan Hale this time. But the opener came from a spill-in run, and he set up Dillap for his first goal for the club.
God, it was a strange goal.
Yeah, it was a rather fluky finish, wasn't it? Because it seemed to almost deflect off him for a goal.
After the ball went into the net, he was spinning around. He didn't actually know where the ball was. It was a strange one. But I was impressed with Derry in terms of, I know that goal had a huge element of luck to it, but they seemed to drive at Pats on the night and try and break through the midfield a lot of direct running from the likes of the Hales and the goal scorers you mentioned there. So there seemed to be the right tempo and the right attacking emphasis behind Derry on the night, and they'll be delighted to through to the next round.
And how different it could have been right at the end. Madden blazed over, but then he was brought down by Seaborn right at the death. Jared Ocherty, he made a brilliant save with his legs, didn't he?
I thought it was a poor penalty, but yeah, I suppose when the keeper saves it with his legs and he's going the other way, it is classed as a good save. But I mean, we've seen this situation at Pats recently where there's been a bit of confusion over the penalty takers, and it seems to have come back to haunt them here.
Yeah, they obviously just need to decide who's taking him. I think it'd be Conan Byrne normally, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't expect that penalty to be saved, but it was saved really well, as I said. So, you know, I thought that'd be going to extra time.
Yeah.
Once you see the
just
penalty.
Just while you mentioned extra time, funny enough, I don't know how many times this week on Soccer Republic they kept speaking about how games nearly went to replays.
Yeah.
Do lads that are presenting these shows not look at the rules and know that there's no replays until the next round? It was very frustrating. I mean, even Dave Barry there was talking while he was analysing the CIE and the UCD game, and he was saying, oh, if they could have just brought it to extra time, to a replay. The game ended 2-2, Dave.
Yeah, I know, and finished 6-2, so that was hardly going to any kind of replay. But Drogheda narrowly beaten by Waterford. Oh, it was a tame goal, this one, and one that Paul Skinner won't want to look back on.
Yeah, and we've praised Paul Skinner, funny enough, on the show this season for his form and recent performances, but that was an absolute howler, and I've seen that many a time.
He's a long way out with Bastian Harry when he hits it.
He seems to have a real issue with the long-range shots that are kind of hit on the snap with a bit of, you know, a surprise element to them. Bounces in front of him, but it's a nice height. He should be pushing that round the post, if not catching it, and it's gone straight to his hands and in.
Yeah. Drogheda should have had a penalty. I know you're going to say no, but, I mean, he just looked... It was Houlihan, wasn't it? He blocked across guiltily, hands straight behind his back. He definitely, definitely a penalty.
He looked guilty, but you're naturally going to do
penalty.
That when the ball hits your hand, in case the referee interprets as a handball. You don't want him to think it's hit your hand at all. We'll be speaking about the man in the middle later on in the show. His performance in Oriel last night was an absolute disgrace. Rob Harvey, a referee that I know exactly how poor of a referee he is from seeing him at Longford many times. But for me, he got this one right. I thought Houlihan's hands was by his side. I didn't think it was a penalty.
No, he puts his hands out. It deflects it blatantly wide. No, penalty every day of the week, Kieran.
While we're on this game, John, we might as well bring up the comments of Drogheda manager Tim Clancy during the week, describing First Division referees as the most arrogant people he's ever met in his footballing life.
Yep, he's going to get a fine, isn't he? I would have thought.
Yeah, he is, yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, we've been into long detail, haven't we, before?
Yeah, last week. We got a lot of feedback on our discussion last week. A lot of people were very happy that we brought it up and agreed with a lot of what we had to say. So maybe Tim Clancy was listening and he decided to give his little 2 pence on it. But no,
he's clearly right. I mean, I'd be, if I was Tim Clancy in that situation, I'd have been so cross with that decision.
Yeah, I wasn't actually aware that Drogheda were in the same situation as Longford. We spoke about on the show last week in terms of Longford constantly getting the same referee across the course of a month, and Drogheda seemed to be in the same situation here. It's just unacceptable, really.
Well, it is.
And I mean, you have this situation then, like last night in Ireland, where you have Dublin referees refereeing Dublin teams. It all goes back to a shortage of referees in Ireland.
Yeah, and but to be honest, seeing some of the abuse that they get, why would you want to do that job in the first place?
It's well paid, John.
Well, is it?
It is well paid, yeah.
Okay. Look, it wasn't Drogheda's only chance. Mark Doyle should have scored, but he just didn't connect with his shot, didn't he?
Scuffed. Look, Drogheda gave it a good go, but Waterford, you'll be probably, I think, most people's dark horse for the cup in terms of outside of that top two of Dundalk and Cork.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the next one. It was a comfortable win, in all honesty, for Bowes. 2-0 away from home against a poor Galway United side.
And don't tell me that was a shot from Dara Leahy. That was definitely a cross that went straight in. Ryan saved well from Dan Casey as well to keep it at 1-0. But you're going to love this. The Galway defence came undone when Robbie Williams did something stupid and gave away a penalty, mate.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yep. JJ Lunny's penny was that was saved well, actually, by Tad Ryan. Buckley chip came back off the bar. Fingertip save. Look, the winner, and the second goal came from a Stokes free kick. That was a good free kick.
Ty Ryan had an excellent game, but it was definitely a fault for that free kick. He should be saving that.
Yeah, I agree. But Galway, they're really struggling at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, look, their season is absolutely finished now, done and dusted. Attendance is there, obviously dropped as a result. And I know there's a lot of concern around maybe the future of that club going forward, because obviously the Saudi deal looks to have fallen through. The co-op numbers aren't what was hoped. Attendance is, as we mentioned there, not what they should be. And I mean, for the squad they have, it's been an absolutely awful season.
Yeah, terrible season. They'll just want it to end and start again next season with hopefully a bit of strengthening to say. But if you're right and the money's not there and the Saudi deal fell through, it could be tough for the next few
budget
years.
Budget-wise, you don't know how it's going to sum up for next season. But we'll move on to the next one. Limerick made hard work of it, but in the end, 2-1 winners at home to Cabinteely.
Oh, they got a real gift of an opener as well with a back pass there, didn't they?
I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen Cabinteely in recent years, and I've always found them one of the most frustrating opponents to go and watch your team play against, because they're so well organised. They play a very little ball on the ground. A lot of it is very direct, but they push up, they squeeze the opposition, they make things difficult. I've never seen Cabinteely try and play out from the back like that, and it's cost them. That was a horrendous mistake and a gift for Limerick.
Yeah, Conor Ellis snapped it up, didn't he? And
good game, Ellis.
But it won 1-0. Yeah, he did.
But you're always going to get a boost of confidence when you've been...
It was Ellis that set up Barry Maguire as well for the second, so yeah, he did have a good game. Kevin Knight scored from the corner to give Cabo hook 2-1, but... despite their huff and puff, they couldn't get an equaliser in that one.
Yeah, Jack Chute missed a chance there. I think it was off a corner as well. Former guest of the show here. He'll be disappointed with that one. But again, that just like Galway, that's Cabinteely's season done and dusted now.
Yeah. CIE Ranch, we talked about earlier, very unlucky. Went and ended up going down 6-2 to UCD, but that is only half the story.
This was the game of the round. This was a stunning game of football.
Yeah, well, CIE... The shock was on the cards early on. There was an own goal from Dan Tobin. That opened the scoring 1-0. And then Glenn McCabe corner, Ed Smith headed home 2-0. And they were dreaming with the Ranch.
Yeah, and their manager, Keith Cronin, who was a guest on our show last week, he spoke about putting on extra sessions regarding set pieces. He felt UCD were vulnerable in that area.
He did.
And it proved its worth.
Yeah, good. Obviously got his head screwed on, you know, because that's where the corner came, with Ed Smith heading in. So it was a good corner as well, really dangerous one. Gary O'Neill, he had a free kick well saved by the CIE keeper, who had a great game.
He was amazing.
Yeah, Brasil, wasn't he? And he made plenty of saves. It was Yusuf Mardy that pulled one back from across. That was 2-1. But it could have been 3-1. But there was a header straight at the keeper, and that would have finished the game off. But I think it was the game was changed when O'Sullivan got sent off, and I thought it looked harsh on first viewing.
No, when you see the replay, his 2 feet come off the ground, he catches the player quite high up the knee. It's a red card. That all came from a throw-in that they made a bit of a hames off, to put it.
Yeah,
into simple English for you. It just shows, it's amazing football, such a small detail like a throw-in. If you get it badly wrong, it can have a huge effect on the game. They panic, they react, overreact to a mistake, lunge in, make a tackle like that, red card, and suddenly the game swings totally.
Yeah, well, the equaliser came in the 89th minute, just when CIE were desperately trying to hang on, and McClellan got the equaliser, but then in extra time, CIE just faded, and goals from McClellan, who got two more for his hat-trick, another one from Mardy, and Gary O'Neill made it 6-2, and UCD progress.
I think McClellan will be a big player to watch out for next season in the Premier Division, but Mardy is the one we're hearing an awful lot about. Yeah. I think he could get a move right off the back of this season, because he's been so impressive in such a short space of time.
Yeah, we'll be asking Georgie Kelly about him, because you know, he's come in and done a grand job.
Unbelievable,
hasn't he?
Yeah.
And finally, Longford 2, Shelburne 0. So Longford have been delighted by this, because Shells have had a bit of a hoodoo over town.
Yeah, I wasn't at the game, but fair play to Shelburne for putting up a Facebook live stream. I think I might have seen your name pop up on that as well. Yeah,
brilliant. Well done, Shells, because that enabled me to watch it. Yeah. Fortunately, I had a work night out. But
from speaking to people and even just listening to the background noise in the stream, it seemed to be one of them really good old-fashioned cup nights in Longford. The crowd really got behind the team, and the attendance of 614 mightn't sound like an awful lot, but it's actually one of the highest attendances in a long, long time in Longford. And with the playoffs hopefully coming now, if they can get there, or even these next two remaining home games they have, you'd like to think that this will be the momentum now for Longford to really push on, finish strong this season, and build something, as we've spoken about. I mean, if Longford could somehow get promoted this season, I think if Fenn is to stick around, I think he has another year on his deal, John, as far as I know. I could really see this being the start of something for Longford.
The only problem Longford have at the moment is this squad. They are really down to the bare bones, Kieran.
And Daniel O'Reilly picked up a yellow card in this game, so he's going to be suspended now at some stage during this run-in. He's been a rock at the centre of that defence for Longford. Verdon, top performer this season, he's out injured. Hollywood was starting to hit form, he's out injured. But the man who's been so impressive, John, I don't know if we've praised him enough this season, goalkeeper Mick Kelly.
Yeah, he's been excellent, and he saved well from Lachlan Fitzgerald early on. That was after Aidan Durbin had shot over, and Davey O'Sullivan had done similar at the other end. He's, we have to say, Davey O'Sullivan's struggling a bit
recently.
What's
happened there all of a sudden? The goal's totally dried up, and looking at the Facebook stream during the game, a lot of Shell fans were getting on his back.
Sub him,
sub him, and saying that he's finished.
It's a shame for Davey.
I'd never say he's finished, given all the goals he scored down the years, but there's something not right there at the moment.
Like you said last week, he has these patches, and purple patches followed by a very quiet
when he's
spells.
Out of confidence, he really, really seems to be out of confidence. We've seen that in Longford, where his first touch seems to disappear. He's snatching at shots. He just doesn't look the same player. That's the magic of football. I mean, the player can be in red-hot form one week and then just go through one of these spells, and they have to react.
One man in absolute red-hot form, white-hot form, is Dylan McGlade, Kieran. Mm. We saw him torture the Sligo defence a couple of weeks ago, and this week, Shells, he ran them ragged again. He was hacked down for the first goal, a penalty which we actually got up and converted to make it 1-0. Darren Meenan seemed to have come into a bit of form. Yeah, Amanda did very little.
About time,
in fairness,
John.
Yeah,
I mean, there was
a marquee signing for
Longford. Didn't deliver at the start of the season, but he finally looks to have got a run of games. Maybe his fitness levels now have finally peaked and we're going to see the best of him.
Yeah, well, he hit the post after great work yet again from McGlade. And it was McGlade that won a corner, which Daniel O'Reilly volleyed home to make it 2-0. That was a great finish. Great centre-back's finish.
Yeah. We'll speak about the draw shortly, but obviously from a Longford point of view, it's a bit of a disaster getting Cork. But look, that's going to be a big occasion all the same. And one of the players you'll be looking for to step up in that big game is, of course, that man we've mentioned, the red-hot in-form Dylan McGlade, who joins us now on the show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line now by one of the most informed players in the First Division. It's, of course, Longford Town midfielder Dylan McGlade. Dylan, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Cheers, Ken. Thanks for having me.
So, Dylan, again, another huge cup weekend for Longford Town. Great victory over Shelburne. I think a lot of the Longford players were saying it was an overdue one, not having beaten their edge yet this season. But 2-0 on the night, you won a penalty, you converted a penalty, and another great performance personally.
Yeah. It was a great performance personally, but it was a great team performance at the same time as well. And like the lads have been saying, we were due to win against them, being the only team that we haven't beaten this season. And I think that it was fresh in everybody's mind. And I think it was fresh in the mind of us that knowing if we get into the playoffs that we would probably be coming up against them. And I think psychologically it was a good boost knowing that if we do meet them in the playoffs that we will have already beaten them. And we have that in our fresh in our mind. So I think it was an important victory, and obviously being in the last 16 of the FAI Cup, it was a good victory as well to get us into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, we'll speak about hopefully Longford are going to be in the playoffs, so we'll speak about your running shortly. But that's back-to-back wins now in the FAI Cup, win over Sligo, a win over Shelburne, clean sheets in both of those games as well, which is great to see. But you've been drawn against Cork for the second year running now in the quarterfinals. Are you disappointed with that draw, or are you looking forward to the chance of going up against Ireland's best team?
I think we can't be be not looking forward to it, because at the end of the day, the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, you're not going to be coming up against a bad team. So if you want to do well in the cup, you're going to have to play against a good team eventually. So why not get them now? And look, it's on our home turf. We're in form at the moment. We've beaten Premier Division teams already this season, so why can't we beat them? We have nothing to fear. All the pressure is on them to go out and perform and beat us. We're basically playing, just having the freedom to go out and play. And I think, as well as that, a lot of the boys are looking forward to testing them against, like you said, one of the best teams in Ireland and the holders of the cup. So it's going to be a great occasion. It's going to be a great night. I've seen stuff going around on social media about if every Longford fan can take one friend to the game, it'll double the attendance, which I think is a great shout and a great initiative. Because, as we've said before, I know a lot of the boys have said before, that the fans are like a 12th man this season for us. They've been absolutely unbelievable. And you know that Cork are going to bring a large travelling support and a vocal travelling support. So if we can match that on the day, then I think that it will definitely reflect on the pitch and the performance of the lads.
And you mentioned there the fact that it is a home draw, but strangely enough, Longford's two big wins this season over Premier Division sides against the Hood Rovers, Sligo and Shamrock Rovers, actually came away from home. So it's a strange one, really, but as you mentioned there, I'm sure that a big home crowd could be a factor here.
Yeah, definitely. I think we just have a knack of beating Premier Division teams the last 2 years. But like I was saying on the weekend, I think it helps playing against Premier Division teams, because we play a Premier Division brand of football. Mm. So it kind of even nearly suits us playing against these teams. I think against Shamrock Rovers, it was pretty much 50-50 possession, I thought. I think we carved open a lot of good chances and obviously won the game. And then the same with Sligo Rovers. I know that they maybe dominated possession for maybe 60 minutes of the game, but we moved the ball well, we carved out chances, we won the game.
And just in terms of your league running coming up, obviously it would be fantastic for Longford to advance further in the FAI Cup, but this game against Cappin Tealy at the weekend in the league at home at the City Colin Stadium, I'm sure you want a big crowd out for that one too, because that's massive in terms of getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I know that there's a lot of talk about the cup and getting Cork and stuff like this, and it's exciting, and it's a good chance for the boys to go and show how we can play against Premier Division teams. But our bread and butter is the league, and all the boys are fully committed to trying to get this club up into the Premier Division. I think it shows the character of the team we have, that if you look at our injury lists, like we're threadbare at the moment. We're 16 and 17 year olds on the bench, and it's not ideal going into these last 3-4 rounds. Like you'd want really likes of Sam to be playing and Jamie Happywood to be playing, but at the end of the day, the boys have come in and performed and done extremely well. So we're looking at really kicking off and winning the game against Cavan Tealy on Saturday, and obviously win our last two games, which are really, really tough games against Stroud and UCD. But look, like I said, we're the informed team now. We've been keeping consistent clean sheets for the last few weeks, so we really need to make sure that we put in a good performance out in this game on Saturday.
Well, super stuff. Thanks very much for joining us once again, and best wishes with that big game of the weekend against Cappin Tealy.
Cheers, Kieran. Thanks very much.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie. BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit diaga.ie.
One match in Division 1, Kieran, and Athlone 0, Cove 0. Cove will be disappointed with that.
We called it a blockbuster, and I think we were correct in that one.
Yeah, not too much excitement to be had in that one. But there was plenty of excitement in the Premier League last night as Rovers went to Dundalk and won 2-1, a match you were at.
Oh, you can say that again. Red-hot atmosphere, as always, between Dundalk and Rovers. you know, it's often a cliche when you hear supporters saying, oh, this team always up their game for a match against us. But you can see it in these games. Rovers really, really do up the ante so much. The first 15 minutes, they were absolutely all over Dundalk. It was probably the worst 15 minutes I've ever seen from Dundalk. I mean, often when you go to Dundalk games, you can see them taking that first 15 or 20 minutes just to keep the ball, and they're looking for gaps and they're feeling out the opposition. But it wasn't like that. It was Dundalk were absolutely all over the shop, and they were making simple, basic mistakes in possession. Rovers, you have to give them credit for putting that pressure on Dundalk. But after Dundalk got the equaliser, they were absolutely all over Rovers then. So it really did flip the other way. And I mean, Robbie Benson in particular missed a couple of sitters. Huge controversy at the end of the game. Sean Gannon clearly wins the ball. He does catch his man, and I think it may have been Ronan Finn, but he clearly wins the ball. Referee Rob Harvey, who had an absolutely awful night all around, he gives the penalty, and Dylan Watts sticks it away to blow the title race wide open. And not even just in terms of the title race, obviously that's a huge 3 points for Rovers in the European battle.
Yeah, they'll get a bit of ground trying to haul Waterford in with that one, won't they? But yeah, real blow for Dundalk. Lopez header, he put Rovers in front from
very early on,
good Watts free kick. And then the equaliser came from a real deflected effort. Duffy hit and it looped over the keeper.
Huge slice of fortune about the deflection, but the run from Duffy was superb. Obviously, there was nothing Alan Manus could do about it. But one point I wanted to raise with you, John, I thought Manus was very, very shaky last night, particularly under the high ball. He seemed to flap at the ball an awful lot. I was watching Young Bazunu in the warm-ups, and he looks a real fantastic goalkeeper. I know you can't read much in a warm-up, but just the way he was doing things last night, I just said, God, I can see why Man City have invested a lot in this kid. There looks to be something special about him. So I'm just wondering now, with that transfer gone through, whether maybe something has been said that they don't want him playing. City have invested the money in him now. Maybe they're concerned with injuries. I don't know. I'm only speculating. But
it could be that Rovers have made that big purchase or big brought Manus back, you know, and Manus
probably
hasn't
more
come
to
back
do
to
with
sit
it, yeah.
on the shell, sit on the bench. But
I mean, if you have a good young goalkeeper there.
Yeah, will City have said wrap him up in kid gloves? Possibly.
Do you want a player coming over though that hasn't played for a year then?
Yeah, well, exactly. If it's down to me, I'd be wanting him to get as much first team exposure as possible.
Maybe he'll get the cup games now. That'll be interesting to see. But they're out of the cups. Never mind.
Yeah, that wasn't a big purchase, by the way, for Man City.
That wasn't a dig.
No, the 50 million would have been a big purchase for Man City, but 400 grand, it's pennies to them, isn't it?
Yeah, but a huge win for Rovers. Yeah. Disappointment for Dundalk, but I'm sure they'll look to bounce back on Friday when they go to Limerick. Look, John, we'll go to our St. Mel's Brewery prediction game now. You're 8-2 ahead after my horrendous FAI Cup predictions, so I think I can wave the white handkerchief at this stage. We'll start with the First Division, though. It's the biggest game of the season in the First Division so far. Drogheda United looking to secure a playoff place. UCD looking to secure the title. It's at Drogheda's ground. What way do you see this one going?
Well, this is going to be a cracker. This is probably a game of the season in this division. Drogheda, we know, capable of goals from all over the pitch. But UCD are on, you know, great form. They're on fire. The loss of Georgie Kelly doesn't seem to have affected them. No. I think they'll go on and win this and cement their position in the Premier League next season.
Very tough one to call. Was tempted to tip UCD just because they've been so consistent this season, John. But they did go to extra time the other night. Whether that's going to be a factor or not, we'll have to wait and see. But Drogheda, I was impressed with their performance against Waterford. I know maybe they didn't create that many chances, but they put it up to another Premier Division side after knocking out Rovers. They went and played a team that's above Rovers in the league table. So it was another step up in that type of terms. And I thought they definitely didn't shame themselves. And Tim Clancy now, with those comments during the week, is there going to be a bit of a bounce around the camp? Are they now a bit of a siege mentality going on there, perhaps? It's a huge game. You'd like to think the people of Drogheda will get out and back them and make it one of those classic atmospheres that we're used to up there. I go with the home win.
Okay, so we'll beg to differ on that one. Harps return to Galway. Harps needing the win to keep their playoff ambitions and even title ambitions.
I've lost all faith in Galway as a team this season. I think that just their performances in recent weeks have been absolutely disgusting, to be honest. I'm so disappointed with them against Longford. I thought they were atrocious in a game that could have still kept their slight playoff hopes alive. But I mean, you play it till the final whistle, you play it till it's mathematically not possible. They haven't done that. They've thrown the towel in. I was impressed with Harps up in Oriel, as I said. I see this as a comfortable Harps win.
Yeah, and Galway gave nothing much in that cup match, did they either? No. So we think their season's over, and I'm going to go for a Harps win as well. Shells host Athlone, which should be pretty straightforward home win as far as I can see.
Yeah, home win, obviously. We might just get a score prediction in a minute just to try and separate ourselves a little bit. But just while you're mentioning Shells, did you see there was a bit of back and forth between Owen Heary and Neil Fenn this week?
I did. I think Owen had suggested that Longford were playing a bit of hoofball to Jamie Doyle, which is, anybody that's seen Longford this season will know that's probably the opposite of what they do. You know, it's
I think if anything, you probably accuse Shells of being a lot more of a direct side than Longford, but that'll be a tasty one if they do meet in the playoffs at some stage. If they've been great meetings this season. I wrote a piece for the match program actually for that game in the weekend about the rivalry that seems to be developing between Longford and Shells, considering especially when you have that loan, that rivalry's totally gone now. So Longford are probably looking for another rival, and I think Shells have been the ones to put their name in the hat. But in terms of score prediction this weekend, I go 4-0 to Shelburne.
3-0. I think Athlone slightly better than they have been, but they suffered a lot of 4-0s, didn't they? But I'll go 3-0 with this one, Kieran.
David O'Sullivan will be looking to continue. I know the last one he didn't get a hat-trick against them, but this will be certainly the game for him to get back in form.
Yeah, absolutely. He just loves playing them, doesn't he? He loves it. Yeah, so we'll see.
Speaking of Longford, they have a home game against Cabinteely. Anything but 3 points here would probably end their playoff hopes, but with the form Neil Fenn's men are in, you'd like to think this shouldn't be a difficult task.
It's all leading up to that crunch match against Drogheda, isn't it? But they have to win this to keep
That's the danger, isn't it, John? To take your eye off the ball, thinking of that game and even the one against UCD.
Yeah, Cabo were difficult enough to dispatch. Longford struggled at home against them in the past.
But as we've mentioned earlier in the show, it does look like Cabo's season is a bit done and dusted now.
Yeah, well, we're hoping they have the done and dusted mentality and Longford win that comfortably.
You going for Longford win?
I think so.
Yeah, follow you on that one. Cove, they're up against
Wexford.
Yeah,
you're not very fond of Wexford's team at the moment, are you?
Not very fond of these end of season games. They're dead rubbers, but I suppose we've been lucky this year in terms of most of the games in the first division have huge things riding on them, but this one certainly doesn't. But Wexford have been atrocious this season. I go for a win for Hendo's men.
No, it's going to be a dour 0-0 draw as far as I can see that one.
Right, we have a few differences there, so that's shaping up nicely in the first division.
Just giving you a chance.
We'll move on to the Premier.
Yeah, Cork hosts Sligo. So
sorry, John, I'm knocking stuff all over the place here.
That's okay. Cork at home to Sligo, I can't see Cork taking the eye off the ball on that one, and I expect a comfortable home win.
Huge injection of confidence for Cork last night, that result up in Oriel. So, no, Sligo have been very, very poor this season. Cork win.
Bray host Shamrock Rovers. Shamrock flying high after that win at Dundalk.
Don't call them Shamrock.
I know. I knew it as soon as I said it. You don't like that, do you?
No.
And then Bray obviously struggling at the bottom. Not been too much of an upturn since Gary Cronin was appointed. Can you see anything other than the way
I'm
he went?
I'm surprised you don't call Drogheda Drogheda, actually. I've heard
that. Drogheda.
Yeah. But no, let's stick to the topic here. Bray obviously upset Rovers massively earlier in the season, but there seems to be a bit of a change there in recent weeks. A lot of younger players seem to be going into that Bray team under Gary Cronin. I think while they'll never admit it, they're definitely planning for next season. Rovers, huge win during the week. It would be typical Rovers this season to go and slip up now against Bray, but I don't see it. I think they'll get a little run going now. Going to be a great scrap between themselves and Waterford for that third place. Rovers win.
Yep, away win for me. Couple of ties coming up which are mirrors of the cup draw, Derry at home to Bowes.
Yeah, tough one to call because Bowes are an informed side at the moment. But Derry, that good record at the Brandywell, confidence in terms of the cup after beating Pats, another Premier Division side. They're so inconsistent, Derry, but I'd like to think with the home advantage that they'll just scrape by Bowes. Tight one, but home win.
Yeah, I think it'll be very, very close, but I'm going for a Derry win. And when I do that, normally, they don't win. No. So I'd get all your money on Bowes. St. Pat's host Waterford, and this is getting crunch for Waterford, isn't it? And and it's not an easy one going to St. Pat's, but St. Pat's haven't been great just recently.
God, Waterford will hate that result last night from Oriel. But the word we've used on the show a couple of times to describe Pat's is flaky.
Yep.
And this is the sort of fixture where I can just see Waterford being the more focused side, the more determined side, a lot more riding on it for them.
I just can't get convinced by Pat's centre-backs.
No.
You know, I think it's
lacking a goal scorer as well.
Yeah, yeah. So
no, I go with the Waterford win.
You think they're a better all-round team?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, I agree. I'm going to go for a Waterford win. But again, that'll be tight, I think. And finally, Limerick host Dundalk.
We've seen some hammerings in this fixture recently, and this is another one that mirrors the cup draw. But I know Stephen Kenny was absolutely fuming after that result last night. I know the players were very down, very dejected. Couple of selection issues now. Sean Horse sent off after the final whistle last night for it appeared to be something he said to the referee. He'll be out. There's a couple of injury concerns here and there, but I mean, you just looked at the depth of talent they have there. There should be no issue here. The pitch down there can be quite difficult, mightn't necessarily suit Dundalk's style of play, but then again, when you have a man like Hooban that you can knock it long to and get the likes of Duffy, Connolly, McGrath running off him, then there should be way too much firepower. I think this will be a comfortable Dundalk win.
I do as well, and I'm a bit worried for Limerick in these last few weeks because I think they're, you know, I just don't think they're up to the standard anymore. You know, what happened with the financial things there and
only
players going.
Only 400 at the cup game at the weekend against County League.
There's no audience. And I worry for them that if they do go into the playoffs, which is looking very, very likely, that they won't keep their Premier Division status.
I don't worry for them, strangely enough. I feel now they'll know themselves they're in the playoffs and they have time mentally to prepare for that. They have time to go and look at the sides that are going to be in the playoffs. Match up what type of style that they might be coming up against. We've seen it in the past where teams have known for a long time they're going to be in those playoffs and they've had absolutely no form going into them and then they've found it comfortable enough at times to beat the first division side. I think the gulf in standard between first and premier is huge. When you're playing up against a team like Dundalk, it's a great warm-up regardless of whether you get battered in it or not.
Kieran, that Limerick side's a first division side now. I don't think that's a Premier Division side.
I think you're over-egging the standard of the First Division, to be honest.
You think so?
Yeah. No, Dundalk win.
Right, well, Dundalk win, yes.
Can I get a scoreline prediction, actually, on that one?
I think 3-0.
Yeah, I'll go 3-1.
Okay.
So, before we go tonight, folks, we're going to bring you an interview now. It's with the former UCD striker and current Dundalk star, Georgie Kelly. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined on the line now by Georgie Kelly, of course, the former UCD man who, believe it or not, still sits on top of the First Division goal charts despite his recent move to Dundalk. Dundalk in action last night in the Premier Division, but lost out 2-1 at home to Shamrock Rovers in controversial circumstances. Georgie, welcome to the show.
Kieran, appreciate you having me on.
So, Georgie, we'll speak about that Rovers game in a moment, but a big milestone for yourself at the weekend, a first goal for Dundalk came in the cup against Finn Harps, of course, Donegal, your county, but you scored against the Harps once again. I think they must be sick of looking at you at this stage.
I'd say so, yeah. But listen, yeah, it's a great relief getting the first goal. It's always tough to get, you know, you're always kind of on edge trying to break that deadlock, but yeah, it was good to get the goal, good to get the win, yeah.
And how important are the cup competitions going to be for yourself as well? Obviously, you've come into the club there, and Pat Hooban is in sensational form, so maybe hard to break into the league side at the moment, but the cup competitions could be where you make your mark for Dundalk and show the supporters what you can really do.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I'm going to be kind of patient. I knew that coming in with Pat's form and how he's going. So yeah, the cup's important, all them cups, the League Cup, the, I think we have a Leinster senior game coming up now, so they're the games exactly what I can hope to get kind of a few minutes here and there and stay sharp, you know.
Yeah, real competition for places at Dundalk, isn't it, Georgie? Because it's Ronan as well, and you know, we know what he can do, you know, set pieces and finishing, so tricky to get in that side, and never mind staying it.
Exactly, I think it's one of the strongest sides Dundalk's had even over them years in the great runs in Europe. Yeah, the bench has been it's magnificent. So to some of the players and the quality, it's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah,
I'd say the training matches are quite good, Georgie. Are they?
Yeah, they're intense. They're intense anyway. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether or not you were, you know, you moved mid-season, whether or not you were tempted to stay with UCD, whether that was an option. Obviously, they were flying high and looked to be set to be promoted this season. Did it? Must have been tempting to stay, would it have been?
Oh, that was definitely an option. Listen, I hadn't my mind made up until the last few days coming in before I actually made the decision. I was kind of going to and fro. Obviously, yeah, with how we were going and how I was going, my form was kind of good at that stage and different things. But I think it just came down to timing, and that was the right time, I felt, for me to make the move to Dundalk. Situation they were in and different things surrounding different players, I just felt like that was the right move at that right time, and I'm happy now with the decision I made. So at least that.
Yeah, and UCD's still going well. Colly O'Neill is doing a fantastic job down there, isn't it? It's
brilliant.
It's amazing that you can take sort of like.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying it's amazing that you could take out the league's top scorer out of a team, and normally you'd expect them to weaken, but they're still absolutely flying.
Exactly. I think they brought in, obviously Yo-Yo stepped in, Yo-Yo Matty, he's been brilliant as well. I knew there'd be no issues there in regards to goals. They've brought in Connor Davis as well, who's just come back from Reading. He's another real talent, so listen, it's a credit to Colly and what they've done, yeah, so hope Mouth can go on and win it, you know.
Yeah, they've the crunch match this weekend, haven't they, against Drogheda? Yeah, so that's going to be a big one for them. So,
I'm not sure they can crack me, but I think if they win and all the results go their way, they could win it. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
not sure on that, but from a Longford perspective, we'd be hoping that, because I know UCD come to town on the final day, and Longford could be needing that one to get into the playoffs. So, from a greedy position,
it's a tasty run, and some of them games are. They're going to be very tight. I'm looking forward to seeing them. Yeah.
Kieran mentioned about cup competitions, and you've drawn Limerick away in the quarterfinals there of the FAI Cup. Were you pleased with the draw?
Listen, no. As you can see, even by the last round with Harps, no draw is easy. It doesn't matter who you get. Lucky enough, we're playing Limerick this week, so we'll be able to get a good look at them and really suss them out. So hopefully, we can get through the semi-final. But as I said, no draw is easy. They're going to be a tough side, and it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, so. And I suppose there's still a great chance of a League Cup double, isn't there? You've 3 points on Cork. It's a bit less than it was this time last week, but you'd be still hopeful of cementing that top position.
Exactly. Yeah, the doubles going to be a big one now with. It's kind of the disappointment in Europe and the slip in the League Cup. There's a huge emphasis now that we can go and collect them two trophies over the end of the season.
And Georgie, just in terms of the adjustment, obviously it's only been a short stint for yourself at Dundalk, but in terms of the whole club, the full-time training, I mean, the fan base there is absolutely huge. I'm sure you bump into supporters all the time when you're out and about. Yeah. How big of an adjustment has that been?
Listen, it's been a big leap, but it doesn't take that long to get readjusted and get settled. You know, it's a great club, and I think the culture makes it easier. The culture around the club and the players and the staff, everyone makes it easier. Kind of coming up and being able to adapt. But it's brilliant. The town, like the support, as you mentioned, is incredible. To be honest, I didn't expect it to be that intense. But it's been brilliant, and everyone's been really supportive, and it's been a breeze for me to kind of. Come in and mould and mix, you know, so it's been a grand couple of months so far, yeah.
I think it is something that takes a lot of people by surprise that maybe aren't familiar with the footballing scene in the dock. I mean, you drive through the town and the black and white flags are on every single flagpole. Compared to other towns, you don't see Man United and Chelsea jerseys, John. You see Dundalk jerseys absolutely everywhere. It's quite incredible, really.
It is, and as I say, I didn't expect it. It's a football mad town. Maybe, I don't know, the Gaelic or Hurling's probably not as big, but it's incredible, yeah, it's brilliant, it's great to see.
Well, Georgie, it's been a pleasure having you on once again. Thanks very much for joining us, and hopefully Longford will meet Dundalk in the Cup Final this year, and we'll have you on our Cup Final special.
I hope so. Ken, I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks very much, Georgie.
Thanks, Georgie.
No bother, good luck, no bother.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, Kieran, just some sad news this week as well with the death of young Oran Tully, Bose fan. He was only 19. A lot of you will know him from his work on YouTube. Lots of videos on there. Just very, very sad.
Yeah, strangely enough, I didn't actually know Oran. I actually haven't come across any of his YouTube videos, strangely enough, which is unusual for me, who has a League of Ireland news feed to feed 10 men. But I've seen a lot of players from other clubs putting up tweets and things like that, saying that he was such a great personality. And strangely enough, I actually remember watching Oran on Sky a number of years ago when he went over to Chelsea and he got to meet the likes of Abramovich and John Terry, etc. And I know Chelsea tweeted out their condolences this week. So such a sad, sad loss there to the League of Ireland community. He is such a small band of supporters around the league that when you do lose someone, especially such a young man, It really is heartbreaking. And I know there's a 19th minute applause at every game in the League of Ireland this weekend. It was carried out last night at Oriel Park as well. So condolences to Oran, his family, and everyone at Bohemians as well. And yeah, that's been this week's show, John, I'm afraid.
Yep, rest in peace, Oran.
Okay, folks, before we go, a final reminder about the competition we are running at the moment. If you are to follow our new SoundCloud account, www.soundcloud.com/betweenthestripes, you will be entered into a draw to win a mixed crate of St. Mel's Brewery's finest beers. And the competition was supposed to end tonight, but with high demand, we're going to extend it to next Wednesday, and we'll do the draw live on Facebook on our Between the Stripes page next Wednesday before the show. So again, www.soundcloud.com/betweenthestripes. Simply hit the follow button on our SoundCloud account and you will go straight into the draw. Thanks to our sponsors before we go, flowmax.ie, our main title sponsors here at Between the Stripes, Diageo.ie, creators of our website betweenthestripes.ie, where you can get this very podcast as well as a couple of interesting articles, and to St. Mel's, obviously, St. Mel's Brewery Prediction Game sponsors. Thanks to Lockreys Pharmacy in Drumlish here for hosting us. My thanks to John, and we'll speak to you again next week, folks, when we return with an FAI Cup special, and we are working on some very, very special guests for that one, so make sure you don't miss it.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit betweenthestripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.